1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The countdown clock had closed to just under 2 hours when Boeing scrubbed what was to be the first crewed flight of its Starliner capsule. The offensive valve on a liquid oxygen tank on the Atlas V rocket's second stage that wouldn't close, too much pressure building up. Boeing's Mark Nappe.
A lot of things got to go right, and it's not the majority of the things. Everything has to go right before we launch. And so something didn't go right today, and we will stand down. And when the experts tell us that we need to stand down, that's exactly what we do.
Unclear when they'll try to launch again. The State Department says it's trying to gain access to a U.S. service member who's been detained in Russia. Army Sergeant Gordon Black is accused of criminal conduct. He worked to expand early voting and has spoken out against election denialism in his own party. Kentucky Republican Secretary of State Michael Adams will receive this year's Profile in Courage Award. This is ABC News. China adding its voice to a chorus that's calling for an Olympic truce. ABC's Inez de la Cutera tells the tale.
China's President Xi Jinping visiting Paris on Monday, meeting French President Emmanuel Macron and calling for a global truce during the Olympic Games in Paris this summer. Both Macron and EU leaders have urged the Chinese president to try and pressure Russia to end its war in Ukraine. This was Xi's first visit to Europe in 5 years. Inez de la Cutera, ABC News. Paris.
Since it happened on a Sunday, the White House waited till Monday, May 6th, to host a Cinco de Mayo reception. President Biden touting the administration's student debt relief efforts, declaring that debt disproportionately impacts Latino students.
Everybody says, I've always been so fundamentally focused on Latinos. Simple proposition. You make up 28% of the students in America.
He reminded that Donald Trump vowed to use the U.S. military to deport 11 million people. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The election leader in Wisconsin's largest city is out 6 months before the presidential election. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's replacing Election Commission Director Claire Woodall with her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez. Milwaukee has had its share of scrutiny in a swing state like Wisconsin, where 4 of the last 6 presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point. A collection of art by inmates of Wisconsin State Prisons is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. Curator Deborah Bremer says people are surprised by the quality of the art, but that she also understands.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
Art Against the Odds is on display through Sunday the 19th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose the opener in KC.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens. Despite the threat of severe storms, the Brewers and Royals played 8.5 innings, and Kansas City won 3-2. The Brewers, unable to get much scoring, now have lost 3 of their last 4 on the road. The series continues at Kauffman Stadium. NBA playoffs continue without the Bucks and Giannis, who explained what happened with that calf injury that benched him in the final month of the season.
I felt a little bit of pain under my calf.
did not know what it was exactly. You know, I felt like somebody, you know, had like tripped me or something. And then I realized there was nobody behind me. And it's probably the first time in my career to get hurt of an injury with nobody like being around me. Like, it's different when you step on somebody's foot. I got off the table and kind of did my few steps. I couldn't. And that's when I knew that, you know, maybe something's off. After that, I had to, for the next few days, I had to wear like a boot.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky here the overnight and breezy southeast winds. By sunrise, upper 40s to around that 50-degree mark. Showers and storms set to move in Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. Breezy with highs in the lower 60s. Rain chances continue Tuesday night. Right now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
On my next show, I'll be interviewing 14th Assembly District candidate Brady Coulthard. I'm also going to break down Trump's interview with Time Magazine. Gotta fact check the heck out of that one.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the third hour of our program. On the line with us is Yasmin Taib. She is a human rights lawyer, progressive strategist, legislative and political director of M-Power. On Twitter, it's at Yasmin Taib, T-A-E-B, Y-A-S-M-I-N-E-T-A-E-B. Yasmin, welcome to the program. I understand that the Republicans in the House have proposed this H.R. 6408 bill that is, shall we say, at the very least, problematic. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it. So, as you noted, H.R. 6408, most folks don't know, vast majority of folks do not know anything about it. It's the companion bill has been introduced in the Senate, whatever, 4136. Basically, this bill, in short, would, the way they described it, it would amend the Internal Revenue Code to terminate the tax-exempt status of what they call terrorist-supporting organizations. So basically, you know, any 501, you know, C3, C4, that is deemed by the Secretary of the Treasury to be supporting, providing material support or resources to a terrorist organization, they will be stripped of.
Which on its surface sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
Correct. On the surface, a lot of these bills, yes, that Republicans introduced and ran through the House that have gotten passed. There's been numerous of them. This is one of the most, I would say, dangerous and problematic, and it seems, right, like on the surface, it seems pretty reasonable. And unfortunately, many of the Democrats also saw it the same way. The bill kind of passed without much controversy. Only 10 members in the House voted against it, which was really problematic. We actually just had a meeting with Senator Sanders' office earlier today about it, and they were unfortunately telling us that there are efforts to potentially bring it up under UC this week, which means unanimous consent, again, for legislation that has no controversy, or Republicans are trying to kind of ram it through the FAA, which is another kind of moving piece of legislation. And you know, for myself, I work for Empower Change Action Fund, which is the largest Muslim digital organization in the United States with over 500,000 members across the country. And for my organization, and we've been working day in, day out since October in fighting and advocating for ceasefire in order to save as many lives as possible, Israeli and Palestinian, and to finally see, you know, the bloodshed and the slaughter in Gaza end. And for us, it's very clear that this legislation, which was introduced after October 7th, it was kind of rammed through in the House. They had a hearing a month later, and it just passed. it's very clear that it's very targeted towards organizations that are advocating for Palestinian human rights. It's very clear to us that it's political in nature. And it's honestly completely unnecessary. It doesn't do anything that existing law doesn't already cover. I mean, we have a series of kind of anti-terrorism laws that, you know, if you're charged with supporting any sort of foreign terrorist organization, your assets are going to be frozen, right? Like, there's so many different kind of, yeah, statutes and legislation already in place. But yeah, it's very problematic, to say the least, and we're very concerned because it looks like it's kind of sailing through both chambers without any sort of pushback.
Is your concern that the law has provisions within it that essentially redefine what either terrorist organization or supportive terrorist organization means? Or is your concern that if a less than high integrity administration were to come into place, like we had, you know, during the Trump administration, that a Secretary of the Treasury, a corrupt Secretary of the Treasury, might simply use it as a way of targeting organizations like yours and Ani Zonneveld's, you know, Muslims for Progressive Values. She's a regular on our program. This could be a sword, a weapon used against legitimate organizations that you know, reflect a constituency that's a very small minority in America?
Excellent question. It's actually both. So we are very concerned that under a not so, you know, ethical Secretary of Treasury, that the legislation could absolutely be weaponized to go after any organization, right? It could even go after like organizations advocating for reproductive justice and reproductive rights. Because the way it's kind of drafted, it's the language is actually not as narrowly tailored as some lawmakers think it is. It's actually quite broad. But it also does introduce what we see, this new standard. So in criminal proceedings, as you know, you're likely aware, the standard is quite high. This would lower the evidentiary standard. So in terms of, you know, what you would need to simply accuse an organization of supporting a terrorist organization, the standard is quite low. It's much lower than criminal proceedings, which means this legislation, if it becomes law, it would actually bypass the courts, right? It would bypass the courts, so they could, for example, if someone had a problem with my organization, they could falsely accuse us of providing support to Hamas. I don't know on what basis, really, but they can make it up. And even though the organization, the entity, or its officers or founders would never be charged under any sort of criminal terrorism statute, they would just use this legislation to kind of bypass the courts, right? To try to strip the organization of its tax status, to try to silence the organization. Again, we see it as an attack on freedom of speech, on political speech. And, you know, for me, when I read it, the other reason I think it's very problematic is, as you know, because of the humanitarian crisis right now that's like in the midst of Gaza, no kind of functioning hospitals. There's millions of Palestinians that have been displaced, over 40,000 that have been killed, over 75,000 that have been injured. There's a lot of organizations that are, you know, providing humanitarian assistance. And kind of the governing authority in Gaza is Hamas. So if any, right, like I can just picture a scenario where if an organization is, you know, crowdsourcing or fundraising for any sort of humanitarian purposes, if somehow that entity has ties to the governing entity in Gaza, which is Hamas, right? So you can see how this easily can go after just...
Sure. It'd be the same way they took down the UN effort in Gaza. Does this specify foreign terrorist, or does it just have general... Could it apply to a U.S.-based terrorist organization as well?
So it says terrorist supporting organization.
That's interesting. I wonder if you could get some Christian allies on this, because so many of the evangelical churches are very supportive of some of these hardcore right-wing movements that might be defined as terrorist organizations in the United States?
Right.
Or am I reaching here?
No, I think there's an advocate that actually made that argument as well mm-hmm. in meetings with us. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, not too many folks know about this. This was kind of a part of a series of, I would say, anti-free speech, anti-Palestinian human rights. Right. I mean, the bill also that passed out of the House last week that you may be aware of, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act.
That's
essentially just equates criticisms of Israel with anti-Semitism. So there's a slew of, unfortunately, very dangerous, very harmful, discriminatory bills that are being passed. And yeah, we just want as many folks to be aware.
Is here in Oregon, we're watching as AIPAC is quietly funding a crusade against Shashila Jayapal. Pramila Jayapal's sister, who's running for Congress here in Portland and or in this area. And, you know, most people don't realize that these attack ads hitting her are being funded by AIPAC. Are they funding this legislation, or are they in any way behind this, or does this have nothing to do with Israel or any proxies for Israel?
So actually, this particular bill, so actually Netanyahu, a couple months ago, this is... I think it was in November. So he was actually the one that first, the Israeli government was the one that first started like pleading with US officials that they should go after student groups, they should go after the organizations supporting these student movements. So, right, like it's not a coincidence that this bill was introduced in November. The hearing happened also later in November. One of the witnesses, who's from Foundation, this is FDD, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, very right-wing, mm-hmm. Islamophobic, pro-Iran war organization, they smeared in their testimony, the gentleman speak like giving testimony, smeared American Muslims for Palestine, Student Justice, SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine. So it's no coincidence that then last week there was a lawsuit right, filed against those two organizations. Mm-hmm. So it's just, yeah, it's just for us, it's very difficult because we feel as though, right, like we're in the midst of this, what we call and what, you know, the International Court of Justice, a federal U.S. court, numerous human rights organizations have termed a plausible genocide. We are trying to do everything we possibly can to counter and stopped the assault on Gaza. And then meanwhile, we're also getting attacked, our organizations, with these frivolous lawsuits trying to silence our advocacy for ceasefire and for human rights.
Wow. We just have 30 seconds before we hit a break. I can't control here, Yasmin. What would you like our listeners to do in response to what you're telling us?
Sure. If they're able to reach out to their senators to simply voice opposition to this legislation.
It's before the Senate now.
Correct. It's before the Senate. It's S-4136. And they can simply say, you know, I want my senator to vote no on. And the name is, it's a bill to amend the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 to terminate the tax exemption. Right. It's basically like, yeah.
Senate Bill 4136.
Right, that targets charities to strip them of their status.
Right, I get it. Yasmin, thank you so much for dropping by today. Is there a website for your organization you'd like to put out?
Yep, it's mpowerchange.org.
Mpoweredchange.org, great. Yasmin, thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank
Yasmin,
you so much.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
18 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-421-9901. 800-421-9901. 800-421-9901. That's 800-421-9901.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Hey, it's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report, heard weekday mornings at 5 right here on WISS. If you like food, if you like farmers, tune in and learn. 5 a.m. on Air Support 93.3 FM and 1100 a.m. Oshkosh.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today we're talking credit scores. I mean, we all know we're supposed to have a good one, but what is a credit score? It's a number rating how likely you are to pay back a loan. Anytime you use credit, you know, like your credit card or a mortgage, the info about what you borrowed and when you paid it gets sent to 3 credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They track every transaction and compile detailed financial information on every single American. I mean, a little creepy, am I right? And they rate you on a scale from 300 to 850. Over 670 is good, and over 800 is excellent. Then the bureaus sell your rating to anybody who's thinking about lending you money, and you get a better or a worse deal based on your score. Best way to keep that score up is pay your bills on time. This is Carrie Joy from Work Money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. Take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council. 330.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls. Beth in Valparaiso, Indiana. Hey, Beth, what's on your mind today?
Hi there, Tom. I just wanted to pipe in on this conversation about the Palestinians and what's going on in Gaza. First, I have to respond to what was just talked about on your show about the what went on and what were they thinking? What
the motivation of
thinking?
Hamas for the October 7th attacks. Yeah.
Yes. One thing is, you know, we saw unbelievable cruelty in this attack, similar to what we saw with ISIS. And I want to point out that the people that are in ISIS, that were in ISIS originally, and these folks that did the Hamas attack are very similar. They're all very young people, mostly, who grew up in ruins and rubble and complete desperation. And I think that has a lot to do with the mindset and a lot to do with why people, some Palestinians still support Hamas, is because they're the only people they in their minds that are standing up to Israel.
Right.
And so the desperation, we have to remember that Gaza has been walled in, just like the old Polish ghetto, has been walled in with nothing to get for 16 years.
Yeah.
Some of these people grew up in this kind of rubble and no clean water.
So,
and,
so you're suggesting the two theories that, I've laid out are number one, that these are millennialists, that is, you know, people who think that these are the end days and they're going to help bring it about. The second is that they're just so desperate. The third might be that they thought that this would enhance their political power. You're suggesting that it's just this is lashing out. Out of deep poverty and despair. Is that kind of nihilism?
I think so. And I it's a terrible situation. And I understand that I believe that Israel has a right to exist. And I believe
Me
that,
too.
You know, there's a lot of good people in Israel that
yep.
feel the same way that we probably do about the desperation of the Palestinians.
It's true.
But you know, as to the protesters is really what I called about.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of people that are, I'm about 10 years or so younger than you. I hear a lot of people from my generation on up kind of, poo-pooing the protesters. Are they really doing anything that's all that useful? They're just mouthing off. You know, I think this whole thing that's all a controversy right now, it started because the police started attacking them. They've been there for the whole time,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of these kids. And the police have been moving in on them, you know, they say to clear the way for graduation ceremonies, but look where it started, Texas and Georgia. And, you know, the New York Police Department doesn't always have a good reputation with being nice either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like this is another right-wing kind of thing, because now what's happening is counter-protesters are showing up.
Yeah.
And fighting could be breaking out.
In
and
many cases, kind
plan.
Of Proud Boys types. Yeah. No, I have been saying for some time, the real outside agitator here was at least Stefanik and the GOP.
Yes, they're trying to create more chaos to reflect badly on Biden. It's just ridiculous.
I agree. And it's fairly clear. And Trump basically called out Elise Stefanik for this and praised her for it at Mar-a-Lago on Saturday.
Right. I mean, this is their plan. And it's all a dress rehearsal for if Trump wins, God forbid, which I don't think he's going to, but if he did, there's going to be a lot of protests, and they're just getting ready. You know?
I agree.
So I think this is dangerous. I just got done reading Ruth Ben-Ghiat's book, Strong Men.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lucid, great, clear read. Everyone should read it.
It really is. Yeah, I've read it. She's been on the program, in fact, about that book. It is brilliant. Beth, thank you so much. Yeah, it gives you a real insight into the way Trump and the people around him, perhaps more importantly, think. Or actually, probably not more importantly, but, you know, without Trump, the people around him wouldn't be there. 27 minutes past the hour, we're picking up your calls. I'll be right back with more of them on the other side of this break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
The former comptroller for the Trump Organization has finished his testimony. They're at lunch break right now until 2:15. We'll be right back. Dr. Marty Goldstein, first of all, I got to tell you, my wife is one of your biggest fans. Tell us about your background.
Well, I graduated Cornell Vet School in 1973, but I had my own conditions that were genetically based. I was not eating well. Conventional medicine had no answer. I started to eat well. I got better. And that was the wake-up call to then apply it to what a dog and a cat should be really eating. Most of the pet food industry is not biologically appropriate to what a dog and a cat would eat, period.
Generally speaking, what are the best things that you can feed your dog?
If they're healthy, well-to-do, and they don't have any medical conditions, about 80% meat and the rest some vegetation.
What should you avoid feeding your dog?
Meat byproducts are not really meat. I don't even want to mention what they contain.
What makes Dr. Marty's dog food different from all the other premium dog foods out there?
Preservatives.
Yeah.
My food is preservative-free. Many of the foods out there have preservatives which destroy the intestinal flora, and they are immune suppressive. My food meets all APCO requirements with only food. There's no additives. So we are literally simulating what a dog and or a cat would eat in nature with this. It's called food. What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
One thing that brings me joy is not only how much they love this, but how well they're doing just through the food. I mean, my life is complete. Well, that's all I can say.
That's great. Thank you, Marty.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Great talking with you. For a limited time, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free pack of premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The countdown clock had closed to just under 2 hours when Boeing scrubbed what was to be the first crewed flight of its Starliner capsule. The offensive valve on a liquid oxygen tank on the Atlas V rocket's second stage that wouldn't close, too much pressure building up. Boeing's Mark Nappe.
A lot of things got to go right. And it's not the majority of the things. Everything has to go right before we launch. And so something didn't go right today, and we will stand down. And when the experts tell us that we need to stand down, that's exactly what we do.
Unclear when they'll try to launch again. The State Department says it's trying to gain access to a U.S. service member who's been detained in Russia. Army Sergeant Gordon Black is accused of criminal conduct. He worked to expand early voting and has spoken out against election denialism in his own party. Kentucky Republican Secretary of State Michael Adams will receive this year's Profile in Courage Award. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is again calling Republican lawmakers into a special meeting to release $140 million to fight PFAS pollution and respond to hospital closures in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. The Joint Finance Committee is already scheduled to meet Tuesday, but neither item is on the agenda. The money for PFAS cleanup has been held up for close to a year. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says he won't rule out police removing tents again from campus like they did in Madison last week. Rothman says it's illegal because it's unsanitary and unsafe.
As your mother told you, nothing good happens after midnight, right? So I think we really are concerned about the safety issue, and the encampments ultimately will be gone.
Rothman on WISN-TV's Upfront. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. In weekend box office news, it looks like moviegoers are smarter than critics, at least when it comes to The Fall Guy. The film was supposed to be the first big summer blockbuster, but the numbers at the gates suggest differently. The film opened with almost $29 million over the weekend. It was number one at the box office, but opened with a 50% lower take than Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in 2023. There might be hope on the horizon with the releases of the new Mad Max film and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in the next few weeks. Brooke Shields is a team player when it comes to bearing all on screen. It was recently reported in the New York Post that the actress agreed to strip down almost to her altogether to make her co-star Benjamin Bratt feel less vulnerable. Shields told hosts on The View that she thought it was unfair Bratt was basically naked except for what's called a modesty sock, which was used to cover Ben Jr. No word yet on whether it took a tube sock, dress sock, or footy to cover Bratt's modesty. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky here the overnight and breezy southeast winds. By sunrise, upper 40s to around that 50-degree mark. Showers and storms set to move in Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. Breezy with highs in the lower 60s. Rain chances continue Tuesday night. Right now, it's 55.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zomers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next Mino the Mayor, Jake Vandenplas with Door County Farm for Vets joins us.
Then we'll welcome Coach Kayla, the new UWGB women's basketball coach.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Qualities. They don't trap uncomfortable heat like lesser grade hotel bedding. Seriously, Cozy Earth's cool, decadent softness surpasses even the finest resort sheets. So tuck your Cozy Earth sheets into one of their adorable totes and go globetrotting. Got a long flight coming up? Temperature-regulating Cozy Earth bamboo joggers and a pullover crew will keep you comfy and stylish at 30,000 feet. So whether you're summering somewhere exotic or at home, Cozy Earth can turn every waking and sleeping moment into pure, luxurious bliss. Use my code TOM, T-H-O-M, at CozyEarth.com now for an exclusive 35% off. That's code TOM for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Bon voyage! Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls. Oh, just a quick story here before we get to that. Interesting. I was just looking at the Trump trial. It looks like there's some fireworks going on, but not fireworks, that there's motions, objections to testimony that's coming up. Severe storms, including rare high risk of intense tornadoes, threaten 70 million people this week in the United States. The Storm Prediction Center raised the risk level to high, the most significant level on its risk scale, which is rarely used. This is for the Great Plains, the central United States, the Ohio River Valley. So, look out. At least 70 million people will be at risk. As global and air and ocean temperatures increase, the atmosphere can carry more water vapor, which is the key ingredient for giving rise to severe storms. So, just FYI. Keep an eye out. Steve in Bridgeport, Vermont. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I have two quick things. One, Saturday is the Postal Service's Get Out the Hunger, Stamp Out Hunger drive. If you have cans or a non-perishable item,
you're the postal worker that calls in. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Put out your candy goods. Yeah.
Go pick them up. And the other thing I wanted to say is about the protests. Mm-hmm. I live by Middlebury College, and yesterday I drove through to go into the village, and the one ironic thing is all their tents are matching. It's as if they bought them all at wholesale and put them up.
Well, they probably did.
So
nothing wrong with that.
I'm starting to believe that it is an AstroTurf thing when I see that.
Well, or it could just be that, you know, a whole bunch of them got together and said, let's have a protest and let's pool our money and let's buy them at half off by buying 20 at a time.
That's very possible, but from what I'm seeing, I'm starting to believe more AstroTurf.
So who's the sugar daddy for the AstroTurf?
That is the question. I have a feeling it has to be one of these right-wing organizations funneling money through some way, or offering tents.
You're turning this into a conspiracy theory here, Steve. I mean, it's not impossible.
I know. I know it's very conspiratorial, but it just seems that everything is aligning, and it's all targeted to diminish Biden's role and to make Biden look bad. It just doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I get it that Republicans are just loving this right now. So, yeah, Steve, thank you very much. Thanks for the call. Tony in Long Island, New York. Hey, Tony, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
I'm fine. What's up?
I got a letter just about 2 hours ago from the United States Senate. Mm-hmm. I found very disconcerting. It's signed by 12 senators. Basically, it's a threatening letter against the ICC. I don't know whether or not you've seen it before.
The International Criminal Court. Yeah. You're talking about their demands that they not indict Netanyahu for war crimes.
Correct. And I think the final part says the United States will not tolerate politicized attacks by the ICC and our allies,
right.
Target Israel, and we will target you.
Right. I'm guessing all 12 of the senators are Republicans.
You're absolutely right. Starting with Mitch McConnell, Tim Cotton, Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, Marsha Blackburn, Ken Cramer, Bill Hagerty, Marco Rubio.
Yeah, the usual suspects. Tom Cotton, by the way, but yeah, I got it.
All the usual suspects. But literally, the letter literally ends with, "You have been warned," as if they're the mafia.
Yep. Oh, they are.
Threatening them that they won't be allowed into the United States. Their families won't be allowed into the United States. They'll sanction them.
It's an empty threat. That's why there's only 12 Republicans signing it.
So you don't think there's any teeth behind that? That they might be able to garner some protection for Netanyahu?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that what they're doing is they're staking out their territory, just like Elise Stefanik is doing, that they're the ultimate protectors of Israel. And one of the main reasons is because the right-wing evangelicals are the foundation of the Republican Party today. I mean, there's basically, two giant bases to the GOP. You've got the bigots, the racists. That's one large chunk, and then you've got the fundamentalist Christians. Now you've got funding, which makes the whole thing work, coming from a handful of right wing billionaires. But in terms of the on the ground, the people, it's those two groups, and the fundamentalist Christians are believers in these end times prophecies, and they think that Israel, there has to be a war in Israel, and all but 144,000 of the Jews have to die, and then they all have to convert to Christianity. I mean, this is all in Tim LaHaye's books, the Left Behind books. It's all, you can read it in Great Planet Earth, Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but what totally befuddles me is why are they protecting a man? I mean, if you recall, Yitzhak Rabin was the last Israeli prime minister that I recall that was on the cusp of trying to sign a peace accord with the Palestinians.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't recall the chronology, but it's been a while.
Well, he was assassinated by one of Netanyahu's followers.
Yep, by a right winger. Yep, you're absolutely right, Tony.
Yeah. And yet they continue to follow this guy down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, I think that Netanyahu's time as the leader of Israel is limited. How Israel's got, you've got to keep in mind, I mean, the country has had a huge shock. We look at how we reacted to 9/11. I mean, we invaded two countries that had nothing to do with 9/11 and pissed away $7 trillion and 7,000 American lives and killed a couple hundred thousand Iraqis and Afghans, for George W. Bush's political advantage. So it shouldn't surprise us when Israel suffers what is a much larger blow. October 7th was far worse for Israel than 9/11 was for us. That there's going to be a long-term repercussion, and it's going to be a while before people kind of recover their perspective, at the very least. I was going to say sanity, but I think perspective is a better word.
When you consider how large that music fair was, and how open that area was, and it was intentionally left open. They knew for a fact they didn't have any military protecting that area whatsoever.
Yeah, you're
they
talking literally about the Israeli the Israeli citizens who lived around Gaza. Yeah, that is very suspicious. Just like George Bush being told on August 6th by the CIA, flying a guy all the way down to Crawford, Texas, to warn him that Bin Laden was going to strike inside the U.S. And then Bush did absolutely nothing. In fact, he took the longest vacation in the history of the presidency. Netanyahu's response to the various intelligence agencies of foreign governments warning him that the Hamas attack was coming was similar. That's a rabbit hole that I'm not real fond of jumping down, but it does make you scratch your head. Tony, thank you for the call. Jim in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I just had a couple of facts I wanted to bring into the conversation. One of them was that I looked at the death tolls of the worst acts by humans on other humans, and the Holocaust was not in the top 10. Now, when I look at ethnic genocide, yeah, it's in that list, number 6, I think. But, you know,
Jim,
there's
are you
a lot of other...
to try to minimize the Holocaust, honest to God?
No, you're not understanding where I'm coming from.
No, I don't.
You don't understand where I'm trying to put it in perspective. Did you hear about...
No, I'm sorry. You don't put the Holocaust in perspective. You just don't. The Holocaust was... I'll just leave it at that. 44 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be right back with more of your calls. It's the Tom Hartman Program, the place where smart people get their news.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you hear a siren, it could be a response for help after a fall. Oshkosh Fire Chief Mike Stanley says it's the number one reason for calls to his department.
Much more significantly than we respond to fires, to heart attacks, car accidents, traumatic injuries. We're going on fall calls more often than not.
Stanley hopes a new partnership with the company behind a free balance training app, Nimble, NYMBL, can help seniors avoid falls by improving balance with exercises from the app.
I can do this from my home. I can do this from my living room so that I don't have to worry about securing a ride to go somewhere.
Look for more information going out with water bills across Oshkosh this month. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Hey, fresh dog food is quite the rage right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there's a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quick. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy, Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus get a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique, and dogs' results can and will vary. Message data rates may apply. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here, John in Newtown, Colorado. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi. I was wanting to know your opinion if you thought that the Biden administration has opened themselves up to an impeachment due to the first impeachment of Donald Trump for strong-arming Zelensky.
I don't understand the question.
Well, if Trump got impeached for withholding aid of appropriated funds, if Biden doing the same with aid to Israel.
There's a big difference,
John. You're talking about
when Trump was withholding aid to Ukraine, to Zelensky, he was trying to get the president of a foreign country to commit a crime, to lie about Trump's opponent, Joe Biden, which is an impeachable offense. You're essentially trying to blackmail somebody into committing a crime on your behalf. What Biden is doing by withholding weaponry from Israel is acting out U.S. foreign policy, which is we do not support administrations, governments around the world that are engaging in war crimes.
But I don't think that the Republicans care either way. They just see red meat, and they'll take the opportunity to try to impeach him for what they would think is withholding appropriated funds.
That's a good point, John. They probably will try to impeach him for it, but like I said, it would be a BS impeachment. I understand your point. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is the kind of thing that sure makes a lot of sense. John, thank you for the call. Billy in Austin, Texas. Hey, Billy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Listen, you had a lady on earlier that was worried about the federal government coming after progressives. If an unethical presidency was in it, i.e. Trump. And I was just going to say, you know, I look back at Steele dossier, I look back at the corrupt Obama sending the IRS after conservatives. I look at the corrupt Eric Holder and the corrupt Hillary Clinton. And all the things that they use the federal government to go after conservatives are, and I laugh at that. I laugh at that notion. Don't you?
I don't
know of any conservatives that were harmed by any of those administrations. Can you name one?
Well, I know
one person or one organization. Just name one. That's all I need, Billy.
Let's see. Well, not right off the top of my head.
One organization that lost their tax exempt status because Obama decided he didn't like them. One person who got thrown in jail because Obama decided he didn't like them. I can't think of any.
I can think of one border agent that got killed because of what they were doing, Crossfire Hurricane.
Crossfire Hurricane was something that was started during the George W. Bush administration.
Running guns to the Mexicans and then blaming it on...
Right, it started during the Bush administration. It came out during the Obama administration, but it started during the Bush administration. Billy, I think you need to do your homework. Kathy in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Kathy, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Yes, I'm a first-time caller, long-time
donor.
And you're welcome. I appreciate your show so much. We are listening to you mostly by recording, so we have the time when we can, you know, relax and listen. So I think it was a yesterday's recording about a woman who called in and you talked about Trump being possibly or the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And I came up with a solution to that with I believe it's Revelation 13:18 about the beast. The man will be known by the number 666.
Mm-hmm.
So I played around with it, and Donald is 6. J. Trump is 6. He's running for 24. 2 and 4 is 6. Maybe we have a 666 there.
I think you're reaching, Kathy, but I get it. I was always fond of Ronald Wilson Reagan, which was 6 letters for each name, and the address of his home was 666, but he changed it after he became president. Kathy, I got to move along, but thank you for the call.
Okay,
thank you so much. Paul in Woodinville. Hey, Paul, I got about a minute and a half here. You got a quick one?
Yep. Yeah. The law that Trump broke when he withheld money from Ukraine was the Congressional Budget and Empowerment Act, because he took the money from Congress and did not spend it. And he did not apply for the extension after 45 days of not spending the money. When Joe Biden told Ukraine, you're not going to get the money, you're not going to get the money until you fix the corruption, the executive branch did not take the money. They didn't. Obama did not take the money from Congress.
Right.
In other words, the executive branch can negotiate foreign aid by saying, you guys need to do this or you guys need to do that.
Right.
Trump was extremely shady, but he took the money. He took the money. He broke the law. That's the law he broke. That didn't come out so much in the impeachment hearing as
right.
His motivation for breaking the law is what came out. For that caller who just called, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Donald Trump took the money from Congress.
No, I get that. I'm not sure that he was trying to say it was the same thing. I think what he was trying to say is that the Republicans would argue that it was the same thing and use it as the justification for an impeachment.
Yeah, they have. They have.
Yeah, yeah. Which doesn't surprise me at all. Paul, thank you. Thanks for the clarity on that. I appreciate it. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It does require all of us. And if we're going to hang on to our democracy, it really requires all of us. Double check your voter registration. Make sure everybody you know is registered to vote. We've got to have a massive turnout this fall. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself, the people around you, and stay safe. I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
How would you like to go on a 5-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for 3 fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a 3-night stay. Take your family. Take a special special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. That's 800-550-9469.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 11:06. Dr. Kiran Tamirius, a political psychiatrist, on how to talk to people we don't agree with. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Social Security Administration says Social Security and Medicare